Take your Bibles, please. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Tonight, we are going to talk about the church and the home. The church and the home. And I am going to start all the way back in Genesis chapter 25. I think I can help you tonight. You're going to have to listen on purpose tonight. This isn't one of those sermons that if you listen casually or you're half in, half out, that you're going to catch the whole thing. I need your minds for about the next 35 minutes, so help me with this if you will. Genesis chapter 25, verses 28 through 34. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, tonight, I want to help everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a child, a teenager, an adult, senior citizen. I think tonight will help you. I can only tell you what God said in here. Anything past that is opinion, and that's about like somebody's nose. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. It's really past that. It's not my job to speculate, but I want to talk about the church and the home tonight. First of all, let me say this. The church and the home are not the same. Okay? The church and the home are not the same. You say, well, that's obvious, preacher. No, you'll see where I'm headed here in just a moment. The home was how God started with we humans before there was sin. It started with Adam, and then he added Eve, and then they had their children. And then, of course, sin began reigning, and they began having more and more and more and more and more children, and they began expanding and expanding. By the time the world was destroyed by flood in the days of Noah, it was about just about 1500, 1600, 1700 years. It was a long time. It wasn't a short period of time. And you have to understand something. If you do any research, you'll find there was somewhere in the neighborhood of, I've seen estimates as low as 2.5 billion to upwards of 5 or 6 billion people on the face of the earth at the time of the flood. There are 7 billion on the face of the earth now. Okay? There were about half of the people in the world then that are in the world now at the time of the flood, as far as numerically speaking, probably. It wasn't just a few hundred thousand people. You're talking billions of people. They had children for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years back then. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Thank God I don't live back then. Wally, there's still hope for it. you know, maybe I would have a couple more brothers and sisters. Who knows? But we have to understand that the nations were built that way. Nations were built, and I'll say it the best way, this isn't exactly right, but by families. We think of the 12 tribes of Israel. Those are the 12 sons of Jacob. Each tribe made up of hundreds of thousands of people. And they were from the descendants of Jacob, and you had the tribe of Levi. Levi was one of his sons. And Judah, and on and on and on and on. Each one of those tribes was a family. Now, We moved from the time of Noah to the time of what we call the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. And we see these the Abrahamic covenant. God was going to give the land of Israel to the Jews. We find that the bloodline for the Messiah would run through Abraham. And those were some of the patriarchal promises to Abraham. We also found the disobedience of Abraham and Sarah in giving Hagar, the handmaid, to Abraham at a time to have children because Sarah felt she could not, and Ishmael was born 14 years before Isaac was born. Ishmael is the father of the Muslims today. Abraham's disobedience and impatience with God created the Muslims. By the way, Ishmael had 12 sons. Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn. That's why you have fighting over Israel right now and over the Temple Mount, because Ishmael was born before Isaac and he was the firstborn, and they're trying to live by the patriarchal laws and not by God's law. Everybody understand that? By the way, Ishmael being born wasn't even in the patriarchal laws because it wasn't the promised seed of Abraham. It was a child of sin, and it was wrong, and it shouldn't have happened. It was out of Abraham's disobedience. Everybody got that? Okay, rattle your head if you're listening to me. I'm going somewhere. In these patriarchal days, the eldest child, male child, was the, and I'll use this word very loosely, was the priest of the family. It was not meaning everybody in four walls that daddy was the priest of the home. No. Abraham oversaw the whole tribe of Israel. Isaac then took it. Jacob then took it. Then it broke down into the 12 tribes. But that's why, listen to this, that's why when after, in the time of Saul, King Saul, it wasn't what God intended. God intended for the patriarch to lead the home spiritually up until the time of Jesus. The Jews said, no, we want a king like everybody else. That's when they started in with the kings, and it was still in disobedience to what God really wanted, but he gave it to them anyway. Everybody catch that? So you went from Abraham all the way up until the time of Saul with the patriarchal structure. But it wasn't meaning my wife and I and our three kids that I was the priest of the home. No, it would have meant that the oldest born in my family, of all of my family, my cousins, my brothers, my aunts, my uncles, my grandparents, my parents, my as far back as we had folks still alive, that oldest one would be the overseer of that whole family. Sometimes these families got to be over 100,000 people because they would have children for four and five generations. And they didn't have kids like we did. It wasn't unusual to have 12, 15, 20 kids. And if every one of them was having that for four and five generations, you can see how fast that thing multiplies real fast. Christmas could get really complicated, amen? Now, it wasn't a church. It was a large family. Now, when Jesus started the church in the New Testament, he didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my family. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Okay? He likened the love he had for it as a bridegroom for the bride. Now, a bridegroom for the bride, but has the bride and the bridegroom been brought together yet? So they weren't a family yet. They're a promised family, but they have not yet become a family. Everybody see that? That's God's ways, by the way, not man's ways. Man's ways is, well, we're engaged, we can have kids, we'll live together, have kids, and then eventually we'll get married. That's not God's plan. Everybody doing all right? Okay. I'm trying to help you. The church won't all be together as one, all the saved people as a called out assembly until the rapture. Jesus started the church, not a family. Now, the church is a place for families and is a place for us to help build our families. And I think the church is probably most like what God intended a family to be, but it is not necessarily a family. Everybody understand that? Okay, now hang on here. That means this. I have to be careful how I say this. When my kids were growing up, I was not the pastor of my home. I was dad. I wasn't my children's pastor until 3.5 years ago. But I wasn't the pastor of the home. I'm to be a spiritual leader in my home, but I was not the pastor of a home because a home is not a church. It's not a called out assembly. Okay? And now, listen to me very carefully. God gave us the church because of the breakdown of the home. God gave us the church because of the breakdown of the home. Let me give you a quick little history. Now, let me say this first. I'm in no way saying that the home is not a place to teach the Bible, learn the Bible, and to live the Bible. I believe it should be lived at home. I believe it ought to be lived at home. I believe it ought to be lived at church. I believe it ought to be lived wherever we go. It doesn't matter where we are at, but the home and the church are not the same. A church is a called out assembly. Now, I believe that the church is as important in someone's life as the home is. I don't know that you can say it's more important, but I don't know that you can say that it's necessarily less important. But they're not the same. Let me show you what I mean. You had up until the time of Noah, you had the structure basically as a patriarch. God destroyed the world. Noah then became the patriarch. He had his sons that repopulated the earth. One went to Europe, one went to Asia, one went to Africa. All of them began building their families. They structured their families that way. Then you had the time of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those kinds of things. But you also had in there the time of Moses. They were in bondage because of idolatry and other things. When they left Egypt and came out of Egypt and assembled in the wilderness, God called that the church in the wilderness, not the family. He called it the church in the wilderness. He didn't call Abraham a church when he left the land of the Ur of the Chaldees to go to a city whose ruler and maker is God. But he did call the Jews coming out as a group to assemble in the wilderness a church in the wilderness. Now, let me say this, and I'm gonna just plow through this very quickly. The teaching will be pretty simple tonight, but there are people today who think that they're to run their home like the patriarchal days. We have a complete copy of the Word of God. They did not in the time of Abraham. They had what was necessary, but God was still revealing the Bible to men, and they were putting it down on paper, and God was actually speaking verbally to man at that time. He doesn't speak verbally anymore because we have this. Everybody understand that? So God was speaking and writing through certain spiritual leaders of the Old Testament as patriarchs to help lead the people the right way. Now, I say that to say this. The home today is not to mirror the patriarchs. We have a complete copy of the Word of God. When Moses was telling the people about the sacrifice and the death angel, that was a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus and the payment for sin. Y'all understand what, okay, now hang in there. We don't have to go through that anymore because Jesus fulfilled it. In the times of the patriarchs, we don't have to worry about the lineage of Jesus because Jesus already came. Israel's already been established as a nation and their land has already been promised. I still think we ought to support Israel. I don't care what our president says. Now, but we now have, by the way, that's why we're not part of the priesthood. That's why I don't believe in the priesthood, because Jesus broke the veil in the temple from top to bottom, and we are now priests of God because of what Jesus did for us. We don't need the Old Testament priesthood like the Catholics and the denominationalists try to follow. Okay? Everybody understand that? Here we go. Jesus began the church, the local church. He fulfilled the covenants made with Abraham. He fulfilled the covenants made with Moses. He fulfilled and established and paid for the church with his own blood. When he came, he fulfilled all those things that were leading up to from the Old Testament. He came and completed it, and he said, we no longer need those things. We don't need the holy days. We don't need those sacrifices. We don't need all those. I'll be those things. I'll complete it, and now we need the church. So he switched gears from what it was to what it is. I think it was last Easter I preached a sermon. I don't know that I used this title, but I call it the greatest sucker punch in the universe. I believe God revealed the scripture slowly to man, because that's how he got the devil to go ahead and crucify him, because the devil would not have crucified Jesus had he known that was a part of the plan of salvation. You can disagree with me, but my Bible says, had he known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, I think he gave the devil a sucker punch. Okay, you want to destroy me? Go ahead, but I'm going to use it to destroy you. Hang in there. You think you got me? Just wait 3 days and three nights and wait and see what happens. Nah, 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 nah. And he conquered sin and he conquered death. And he took the keys of death and hell away from the devil, took them to heaven. Say why? Because after the rapture and after the tribulation, he's going to unlock the bottomless pit and throw the devil in there for 1,000 years during the millennium, lock him away, and hold on to the key for 1,000 years. Boy, isn't that going to be fun. Now, wait a minute. God's for us to take a complete picture and a complete copy, so to speak, of the Word of God and try to live the Abrahamic covenant, we're violating what the Bible says we should do. Everybody understand that? Say why? Because they didn't have the complete. Those things that they did were a picture of what Jesus would do. He already did them. Now, by the way, there's principles to learn from. There's principles of life by which we can glean from all those things. But all of those, and I'm going to use this very loosely here, those pictures of the things that they did were fulfilled because Jesus fulfilled all those according to Colossians chapter 2. Now watch this. So for us to try to structure our family like the time of Abraham or the time of those times, we have a complete word of God to take care of that, and we're almost in violation. We're setting ourselves up almost as our own God. Now, listen to me very carefully. We're likewise not supposed to live under the Mosaic law and the Levitical priesthood. You say, why? Because Jesus fulfilled all that. I don't wear the priestly garb with the breastplate with the 12 different colored stones on it representing the 12 tribes of Israel and the all of the phylacteries that went with the priesthood. You say, why? Because Jesus fulfilled all those. It was cared for. That's why denominationalism is wrong. By the way, they want to say that that's the way it's supposed to be, but Jesus didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah, and according to the book of Hebrews, he said, I'll raise up my son out of Judah, and he'll be a priest out of a different tribe, one of which you don't know, because I know people will try to use the priesthood all the way through, and God was predicting the denominationalists of our day. Now, say all that to say this. The home did not do all it was supposed to do. It was broken by sin. Adam allowed Eve to do wrong, and he did wrong with her. And we have the breakdown of the home. Then their children began being born, and one of their children killed another child. And sin kept going from generation to generation, person to person, And sin has been falling on us ever since. By the way, I don't believe when Cain killed Abel that those were the only two children on the earth at the time. If you notice right after that, when God cursed Cain, he took his family with him. And he said that the people who would find him would kill him. God promised him that they would not. And he went out and built a city. You don't build a city with one person. I believe there were a lot of people on the face of the earth at that time, just so you know. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about false doctrine here, but read the book of Genesis and read every word carefully. You'll find out what I'm saying is there. Now, here we go. I'm going to give you seven statements in 15 minutes. I'm going to rapid fire them because I need to do a little teaching with each one, but not all of them. As the world population and greed grew, families began to move away from home. As the population grew, families began to move away from family. As the desire for money and wealth grew, people began to move away from family to chase after wealth. God told Abraham, leave the Ur of the Chaldees, that's eastern Iraq, and go to a land. And he said, don't go to where your kindred are. But he did. He went back to where his father was from and picked up Lot. Did you know Lot would have never been in Sodom had Abraham obeyed God and not gone to Tehran and picked up his nephew? But he did. Everybody doing okay? Man disobeyed again. God's promise was to Abraham. Now watch this. But Lot left in the hopes that God was going to bless Abraham. He might make some money too and become productive himself and said, I'm going with Uncle Abe. I'm going to go see if I can make some money. Say why? Because he was a Jew. They're all the time looking for a way to make money. I'm teasing. Kind of. So as the world population grew, as the desire for money or greed grew, so to speak, people began to move away from their family. Then cities began to grow. And cities began to be populated with people of what I'll call mixed families. A city wasn't all one group of one family. It was families from here, families from there, families from here, families from there. It'd be much like our city is here in Martinsburg. There's people from all over. It's rare to find somebody that was born, raised, and grew up here in Martinsburg. There's not many of them out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'll knock on door and say, you from here? Oh, no. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Boonesboro. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's real far away. I grew up in Hagerstown. I'm not from here. I'm thinking, okay, you're 12 miles up the road. You really moved a long ways away. But that's now, if it was Laytonville, amen, Brother Jimbo, that's a long ways away. Lord have mercy. Then, so as the population grew, as the desire for money or things grew, people moved away from their family. Cities began to grow and those cities began to be populated by people from many different families, and those families began to get mixed up. But people began to congregate in cities with people with whom they were similar with. I don't care what major city you go to in America, no matter what the government says, it's divided up kind of by race. You'll have your Italian district. You'll have your Polack district. You'll have your Chinese district. You'll have your Spanish district. You'll have your Black district. You'll have your, y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't care what major city you go to in America. People begin to congregate with people with whom they're like. That doesn't mean that I've got many different nationalities of people that live in my neighborhood. But there are certain parts of our area you go to. Okay, you go to certain parts of Winchester, it's all Spanish. If you don't speak Spanish, you don't go there. Say why? Because they don't understand you and you don't understand them. And cities are that way. People begin to group around people whom they're like. Does that make sense? Now, does it make it right or wrong? That's not the issue. That's what natural people do. We want to be with people with whom we're more like. All right? Number four. People began synagogues in these cities as an alternative to a big family. The word synagogue is an assembly area, and they would come and assemble here. It wasn't a church. It was a synagogue. Now, sometimes they would hold, many different kinds of services at these synagogues. It wasn't just Jewish, necessarily. And it wasn't just for one family, but they began to replace the family unit with these synagogues, kind of like, I know in Chicago and L.A. and New York and other places, they'll have certain weeks of the year. Okay, in Chicago in October, they always have Oktoberfest for all the Germans. And they all get drunk in the streets and play their accordions and eat sausage, okay? You say, why? Because that's what they do at Oktoberfest. You say, what is that? It would be like a synagogue for those Germanic people together in that area, and they would meet. But the next week, they'll have Chinese New Year, okay? I don't know if it is or not, but then they'll have all the Chinese people on the same area. But they've rented it out for another week. Does that make sense to everybody? And that's kind of what was going on at this time. Number five, families got more and more mixed because of the constant moving from city to city. I got to tell you something funny. My wife and I got married. She was originally from Minnesota, went to Indiana when her folks went there. I'm from Ohio. Her folks left there, moved to Ohio, and were working part-time in a church just across the line in Michigan. I went to college, met her. My mom and dad moved from one part of Ohio to Toledo and were going to the church where her folks went to before we started dating and didn't even know it. Then when we started dating, found out my mom and dad were going to the same church she was from, what she called her home church. Well, we eventually got married. We left there, went to California, and we had our oldest child. Left there after 2 years, went to Charleston, South Carolina, had our next child. Left there after 4.5 years, went to Indiana, and had our next child. We left and came here in 2002, and before we left, I said, we ain't having no more. We are breaking that tradition, just so you know. I have held true to my word, amen? Glory to God. Now, wait a minute. I've got one kid from California, one from South Carolina, one from Indiana. She's from Minnesota, and I'm from Ohio. We all got mixed up in Indiana. Whew. Talk about a complicated thing, isn't it? Now, wait a minute. That's how things were going back in Bible days. America's only been a nation this year. July 4th will be 240 years. Imagine thousands of years of history like this. How convoluted it could get. Okay? Now, let me say this. I believe we're supposed to move because of God's will, not because of what we want. Geography doesn't change the will of God. Did you know geography isn't everything? I've told my children, I'd rather you be in the wrong place doing the right thing than in the right place doing the wrong thing. You can't win the person to Christ in the wrong place. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Geography is not everything it's cracked up to be. There's people there that don't like you too, just so you know. All right? You say, how do you know? Because I've been there. Number six. I'm trying to hurry. Number six. The church is to be much like a family of the Old Testament. The church is like a family, but it's not like a home. See the difference? I have family in Florida. I have family in Ohio. My wife has family in Minnesota and Texas. And God knows where else we have family. I have family where I've got cousins. I don't even know where they live. I do. I know I've got one in New York. I think I got one in Georgia. Or Texas, or I don't even know where some of my cousins live. I haven't seen them in years. And I have no idea where their kids are. y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, it just starts getting spread out farther and farther and farther. Now, a church, I am closer to the people in this church than I am most of my family. This is my family. Now, this isn't my home, but this is my family. My home's a little different. Now, if there's plenty of soup on the stove, you can come anytime. But I'm eating first because I'm hungry. But I don't mind. But church is my family, but it's not my home. My wife will tell you I'm here more than I'm home. But it just is what it is. Now, the church is much like a family, but it's not a home. It's like, but not the same as, an Old Testament family. You say, why? That's why we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That means this. Brother Joe, you got saved, didn't you? That means you're my brother. Miss Ashley, you got saved, didn't you? That means she's my sister. Now, she's better looking than Joe, that's for sure. And the good thing is, I don't have to live with all you sisters. Amen? You're not in my home. I only have one, and she's not my sister. She's my wife. Amen? Now, I'm thankful for all my brothers and sisters in Christ. But can I tell you something? They're not part of my home. They're part of my family, but they're not part of my home. I've got a brother that lives in, I think, Tampa, Florida, in the Tampa area. Have no idea. He's moved a couple times since I've seen him last. But may I say this? He's part of my family. Now, I would welcome him to my home for a short time, but he's not part of my home. He's part of my family, but not part of my home. Does that make sense to everybody? Church is much the same way. We can be family, but not necessarily part of the same four walls of your home. And God didn't intend your home to be the church. Now, I need you to see this verse so that you know that it's not just your preacher saying this. Turn to Matthew 23 very quickly. Matthew 23. And those of you that came out of denominationalism and the Catholic Church, this one ought to excite you. Matthew 23, look at verse number 8. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. Watch this. And call no man your father upon earth. For one is your father, which is in heaven. That means the Catholics calling the priest and the pope el papa and father and el padre are wrong scripturally. The Jews calling their synagogue leader rabbi are wrong because Jesus is the rabbi. Everybody doing okay? That's why I'll go somewhere, we're working on business or something, they'll say, what title do I use? Father? Reverend? Just call me pastor. I was at the funeral home the other day and the fellow put Reverend. He said, is that okay? I said, good enough. I understand. Then I got to giggling because every time I go to a funeral, they want to know if I want sand or water for the graveside. Nope. You don't? I said, don't need it. The ashes, dust to dust, and last rites and all that stuff. Too late. They're already dead. They ain't going to do no good. And I'm not going to be the one to throw dirt in their face. Amen? Now, wait a minute. God says, call no man father. Now, that doesn't mean I shouldn't call my dad back there. He is my father, but he's not my spiritual father, so to speak. Does that make sense to everybody? I don't go around, oh, father. Lord, have mercy. Forget that trash. All right? That shows you, by the way, God knew the Catholics and the denominationalists are going to go around calling people father. That's why the Pope gets up and says that he can speak ex cathedra in the place and they're in the stead of God. Hello. My Bible says Matthew 23:9. That's not true. Amen? All right, number 7, and I'm done. I might be a minute over. A family is not just home and is more than just blood relationships. Did you know that family is not all blood relationship only? My wife and my mother are not related by blood, but we're family. Make sense? A husband and a wife are not related by blood, unless you're on the other side of West Virginia. I had to say that. I saw about 6 of you going, is he gonna? Is he? Yes, I'm gonna. But according to Acts 17:26, everybody came from one blood. Everybody came from one blood. All of the blood of the nations came from Adam and Eve. So technically, yes, we are all one blood. That means this, and please don't get mad at me. Just because you're blood related doesn't mean you're close. Now, I believe in being loyal to your family as long as they're doing right. But loyalty to right is more important than what their last name is. I believe in loving people no matter what their last name is. Everybody doing okay? I love people in my family. I have some of them that don't love me as much. And that's okay. But it doesn't mean that we're close just because we're related by blood. I have cousins I haven't seen in 15 years or more. Literally. Last time I saw them was at my grandmother's funeral that I preached. That's the last time I saw them. Last time I talked to them. I couldn't even tell you where they are, who they are anymore, if they're married, divorced, twice removed, or whatever. Not because we're not family. It's just because we just don't interact. I'm not angry with them. I'm not mad at them. We're family. If I saw them, I'd reach out, shake their hand. We'd talk for a little while and be friends again for a while. But we're not going to be close because we probably won't see each other for another 15 years. Y'all understand? Okay, now watch this. This is hard to preach, but hang in there. This is why step situations need to be as close as blood situations. And I believe that. I don't believe just because you have a stepdad or a stepmom or a stepchild, daughter or stepson or stepgrandma or stepgrandpa that they can't be as close as blood relation. Scripturally, if you live in the same home with them and are part of their family, it ought to be that close. That's scriptural. That's biblical. See, what goes on, and by the way, I'm not negating the fact that you have a situation. Okay, my wife, and I hope I don't get in too much trouble here, my wife has never met her biological dad. Her mom got married to what she calls her dad when she was, three-ish? 2, 3, 4 years old. It's the only dad she's known. She calls him dad. But she's not his blood. Nobody would ever know that. Nobody. Say why? That's the way it's supposed to be. That doesn't mean that if you know who your dad is and he's divorced from your mom or vice versa, and I know that there's custody issues and you're with one, that doesn't mean that you can't love your other step-parent as much as you do the ones that you live with. Now, some are a little harder to love than others, just like everybody else. And I understand that. Kind of like mother-in-laws. Some are easier to love than others. But mine's real easy to love. Oh, wait a minute. That means this. Your family is one thing, but your home is another. Did you know that when I got married to my wife, her family became my family? I'm going to use this and I'll be done. She has some ornery aunts and uncles. My wife's aunt and uncles are, some of them are pretty wild breed. most of them all have Harleys in Minnesota. They're a different breed, trust me. A few years ago, I've led several of her family to the Lord through the years, but one of her aunts and uncles, and I won't say which one, she knows who I'm talking about, nobody else does, they were hard. But he got saved. She'd been saved as a child, but they lived pretty rough life. They called, they said, "Craig, we don't have any children. They're a little older than us." She has an aunt that's younger than she is, by the way. But this aunt and uncle are a little older than us, 10, 12 years. They said, "We don't have any children. We're redoing all of our things. We'd like to name you as the executor of our will." I said, "Really?" I said, "Why?" They said, "Because we love you. We trust you. We love your kids. And we've never had to have a family like you have. We've never seen anybody in our family like your family. And we want what we have to be going through with you." They called my daughter at college and asked her to take a portion of their things when they die. And they've willed a whole bunch of things to my daughter. My kids haven't seen them in their whole life more than about 8-9 times. Literally. Not more than about 8-9, maybe 10 times. That's literally true. Say, why is that? Because their family's my family. They went through a tough time about a year and a half ago. He called and said, "Oh, her aunt just about died." I said, "Doc," I said, "I can get on a plane, be there in the morning." He said, "Craig, you don't need to do that." I said, I didn't say I needed to. I can. I said, he said, "Well, being here isn't going to fix it right now. I just need to know you're there in case I need you." I said, "I'm here." I said, "When she's able to talk, let me know. And I helped coach him through and got him through a very difficult time. He said, "Craig, you were willing to fly here, weren't you?" I said, "Yes, I was." He said, "I know that." He said, "I can't believe it." I said, "Why?" I said, "Your family." He said, "Craig, we're not even really related by blood." I said, "Says who?" I said, "We're all part of the same family, aren't we?" That's what I'm talking about. That's the church. Family is one thing. Your home is something else. Your home is where you live with your little, pardon the expression, family group. Could be two, could be one, could be four, could be 20. I have no idea. But your little home is one issue, but your home is your entire family. When Fred and Wally started coming to church, they didn't have no kids. They don't have any living family. They said, for once, I never will forget hearing Fred. He said, "We finally have our first family." Whew. He'll never know how much that encouraged this old preacher. They felt part of the family here at Grace Baptist Church. Church is supposed to feel that way and kind of be that way. But our home isn't church. Is it a place we learn the Bible? Yes. Sometimes teach the Bible? Yes. Place that where dad should be spiritual and mom should be spiritual? Yes. But children ought to be spiritual too. Everybody doing all right? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The church and the home. The home is not the church. The church is not the home. We're all part of a family, the family of God. But they're separate entities. We need the home. We need our homes strong, so we need a church to help us with our homes, learn how to live at home, and come to church so that we can strengthen our home and our church and our families so that we can all grow stronger to the Lord. As